Good morning. So I'm Coach Jake, and we call all the pastors here at Maywood coaches because, because we believe Ephesians chapter 4, that Jesus has gifted all of you, whether you're on Facebook watching us far away or whether you're in the youth chapel or the fellowship hall, Jesus has given you a gift if you believe in him. And our whole role as a coach is to help you use those gifts together. And Maywood's an awesome place because we believe in Jesus, and we're coming together for that. And I'm excited to talk to you about the message today. Today, we're going to be talking about this idea of the joy of sharing a joy with somebody else. There's like a whole different level of enjoyment when you share something that you really find joy in, when you have somebody right next to you, shoulder to shoulder, enjoying it too. It's like a whole nother level of goodness, right? And something that comes to my mind, Justin just took off, but I'm going to talk about him for a second while he's not here. But it's good. So it's okay to talk about people when they're not around if it's good stuff. So so I love riding a bicycle. I'm silly that way. And had a whole different level of joy with it, though, a couple years back when Justin was first becoming our youth coach. Or maybe not exactly then, but I ride my bike to church most days. And so on days when Justin started coming to the office, when the weather was nice, at least, Justin got a bicycle, and somebody here at Maywood gave him a bike, actually. And I got all excited because we were going to ride bikes together, like 11-year-old boys, you know. I show up at his house. He comes out of his house the first day he's going to come to church with me. He's got a backpack on, and I really did feel like an 11-year-old. Like, I used to walk to school in fourth and fifth grade, and I felt that. Like, we're riding our bicycles together to church. I felt like a little kid. And for some of you, some of us adults in the room especially, like, it's maybe pretty rare that we feel that joy that we had as kids, right? But as kids, oftentimes you would share joy with other people, right? The things you like to do, you did with other people. Pretty innocent things, oftentimes. Maybe not, too, but... And it's great. I don't know something more joyful than sharing something like that with somebody else. Today, what we're going to be talking about is that Jesus wants you sharing the joys that he gives you. And that, in fact, that's a big part of what he wants our life to be about. There's this common saying, or it's a quote, I don't know who it's from, but this idea, if you want to travel fast, go by yourself, but if you want to go far, go with somebody else. You know, this idea that if you really want to get somebody somewhere, you're going to need some help and the encouragement that comes from somebody beside you. And so today we're going to be looking at a great passage of scripture from John chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, please turn there. And we're going to be looking in verse 43 is where we're going to start. We're looking at Jesus' method for bringing people alongside him. If you've been in church for a long time, you might call this discipleship. But this is basically the way Jesus gets involved in people's lives. It isn't, hey, tell me you agree with all these things. It's a little different than that. So Jesus, in verse 43, it says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. So this is the very beginning of the Gospel of John. And you'll see this phrase throughout the Gospels. When Jesus wants somebody on his team, his most common two words are follow me. Like, what does it mean to be a Christian? If you had to quote Jesus on what does it mean to be a Christian, I think those two words are not a bad concept. Follow Jesus. It's basically what it means to be a Christian is you go with Jesus where he's going. You do the things that he's doing. Now, along the way, Jesus changes these disciples' hearts. They do believe in him. But it actually doesn't start with a bunch of words. It starts with an invitation to say, come and do what I do. Come be right next to me. And discipleship, or to disciple somebody, kind of gets at the same idea of apprenticeship, something that's not super common in our day and age that people apprentice with somebody, but most of human history, you would get a job by literally just following and copying somebody else in their work. That's how most people got their trades. And it was common in Jesus's day. Jesus apprenticed probably with his dad in carpentry. And so we're going to do what I would call as a meditation on a painting of apprenticing. Okay. Now, some of you hear that word meditation, and you might instantly think like, well, that's weird. Like that's something that other people do with like Hinduism or something. I want to talk to you today about Christian meditation. We're going to get to experience it together. So there's lots of different meditations out there in the world. Christian meditation, it's got one purpose. It's to focus on something so you can be filled up with Jesus. A lot of meditations that are out there in the world, they're about getting empty. Christian meditation is about, I want to get full of Jesus, okay? So you can meditate on just about anything. The best thing probably to meditate on is on Scripture. But today I'm going to have us meditate on this painting. And if you're ever going to try something where you're trying to get full of Jesus, I would always recommend you start by asking Jesus for help. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time meditating on this painting. And before we do, we will pray. And before we even do that, a little bit of coaching moment for me as your coach is some of us have not been able to get over the hurdle of sitting still for a few minutes and focusing, and we've missed out on a lot of things with Jesus. And I don't mean paying attention to me in a sermon. I mean what we're about to do right now, where you just get quiet and you don't go to your phone and you don't start thinking about what you got to get at the grocery store. You say, I'm here right now and I am going to be still, okay? A lot of what we do to be full of Jesus is simply clear space for God to grow. God has to do the miraculous, okay? But if you've been a gardener for a long time, but you've never grown an orange tree, you might have to change where, you might have to garden somewhere new, do something new to grow an orange tree, right? If you've been a Christian for a long time, but you want to go further with Jesus, you might have to try something different. You might have to go somewhere different to let him grow something in you, okay? So meditation, I got this particular thing we're going to meditate on. I went to the Nelson Atkins Art Museum, this is a while back, and I walked around and it was just me by myself, and I said, like, Jesus, I want to spend the day with you. Or maybe not the whole day, but like we spend this time in the museum with you. And while I was there, this was the one piece of art in the whole place that I felt like God wanted me to stop at and just think on, okay? So we're going to do that, a little bit of that together. So this is, it's a little hard to see, and if you're on, hopefully you can see it. It's by Henry Tanner, if you guys want to ever look it up. It's called The Young Sabbath Maker. I'm probably mispronouncing that. But it's an image of a master shoemaker and then an apprentice shoemaker making like a wooden shoe, okay? So we're going to meditate on this painting, but first we're going to pray. So if you guys will pray with me wherever you're at, if you're on Facebook or wherever. Jesus, I don't know if the person who painted this was a Christian. I don't know a lot of the history here, but I'm here right now, Jesus, because I want more of you. And I pray you would teach me as I focus on this painting. Amen. So if you're on Facebook, you have the benefit of pausing and going at your own pace. But if you're here in person, you're just going to have to stick with my time frame. So, I'm going to give you some thoughts, and there's going to be some silent moments. If it's uncomfortable, that's okay. A lot of times when we do something new, it's a little bit like, what's happening? So we're staring at this painting. What do we see? So stare at it for a little bit. Think about, like, what could Jesus teach me about apprenticing, about following him from this painting? I can't hear you guys. Sorry. We can't really do a back and forth too well because we've got people that can't hear us other rooms too. So sorry, we can't really discuss. But one of the things I want to point out is what's on the floor. And hopefully you can see the image clearly. If you can't, I'll describe a little bit to you. There's a bunch of shoes on the floor, wooden shoes, and then there's like a ton of wood shavings all over the floor. And one of the things that shows you right off the bat is this is not the first time these two have made shoes, and this is not the only pair of shoes they make, right? If you think about what does it mean to be an apprentice, one of the things it means is you do a lot of whatever it is you're doing. Watching a YouTube video to figure out how to, you know, get the screws out of the air conditioner on your car, like that's not apprenticing. You're going to do that once and then forget about it. Apprenticing is you're going to do stuff over and over and over and over together. You go to YouTube because you want to get a task done. Your apprenticing is different, right? Keep looking at it. It's okay if God tells you something totally different than the stuff that I'm throwing out. Another thing you might notice, there's this window in the top right. When you think about where is the light, if you notice the light, it's falling primarily on the boy and those shoes that he's working on. Because the apprentice back there is working on another, or the master, I'm sorry, in the back is working on another pair of shoes, but he's out of the main light. Walt Disney, you know, who worked right up the street from us, when he built a studio for his artists out in LA, he designed it to try to have as many windows as possible because he wanted the artists to have as much daylight as possible. So the master here has given the prime workspace to the apprentice. And some of us, as we've been going with Jesus, we think about all this hard stuff we got to do and how we can't really maybe even handle it. And it feels like a lot. And we maybe don't even notice, probably like this boy hasn't even noticed, that Jesus has really set us up to succeed. I believe whatever spot you're in, if Jesus has put you in some spot, some opportunity, he's done little things like this that you probably haven't even noticed to set you up to succeed. If Jesus has put you with a family member that he wants you to reach out to, he's made something about that dynamics to where you're meant for this, or something about it is set up by him to be for you to succeed in the task he's given you. If you don't pay attention, it's hard to see all the stuff he does to make us succeed. We really are like little kids that he's trying to teach to walk. I mean, he is very patiently setting us up for success if we'll follow him. Okay, so we're still staring at this thing. What else do you feel like you learn about these two and their relationship as you stare at this picture? When you stare at it for a while, one of the things you might see, it's a little dim here on the screen, but in the kind of upper left, there's this, I don't know if it's milk or what, there's like some sort of liquid container and then bread, and there's a bench and a table. And you get this idea that like these two aren't just working together for an hour. They're going to work probably all morning. They're going to eat together. They might even be a father and son combo, but it's real clear that like they're going to eat and share life together too. It's not just going to be like, let's get their shoes done. You know, this isn't like an assembly line at Ford. You know, Ford does not have a wooden table with milk and bread sitting right next to the machines, right? It's a different dynamic, this thing. There's going to be slow times of life together when you're apprenticing with somebody. With you and Jesus, there should be those slow elements together too. One other thing to notice, the apprentice is really going at it. You can't really hardly see some of this because the detail's a little washed out, but his face is all red. He's got the stance that he's like attacking that shoe. You know, it's all his weight into it. And that's a good thing for an apprentice to be, right? If you don't try as an apprentice, you're going to have a hard time doing much, right? I bet most masters out there would rather have an apprentice who tries really hard and isn't as gifted as somebody who's gifted and doesn't try, right? So I bet most masters out there would rather have an apprentice who tries really hard, even if they're not gifted, right? Final thing I want you guys to focus on. We spent a good chunk of time here. I will say I'm throwing out like all this stuff, but I literally sat by this painting for like more than an hour. I found out while I was there at the Nelson, like I pulled out a pen to write and they like, someone came and told me I couldn't have a pen. Like as soon as I did it, they brought me a pencil and they said, you can't have a pen. I don't know what has happened at the Nelson with pens, but something. So I sat there for a long time. If you want to dig into something and grow, you might have to sit for a little bit. You know, you don't find gold just walking down the street. You got to dig for it a little bit, right? So final thing I want to point out, I think this is the most important thing from the painting that I got. Look where their eyes are. Look at the master, look at the apprentice. Where are they looking? Because the apprentice is making a pair of shoes, right? He's looking at the shoes. His whole weight is at the shoes. What is the master making? If you look at him, his hands have got this crazy looking saw thing, and he's doing something to those shoes, but he's not even looking at what he's done. I have a feeling the guy can probably make wooden clogs like in his sleep probably, right? If you get to be that old and all you do is make wooden shoes. But what he's looking at is what he's making. He is making a shoemaker, right? The apprentice is making shoes, but the master is making a shoemaker. A lot of us think that Jesus wants us making shoes. And I'm here to tell you that's not what Jesus wants your life to be about. Jesus wants your life to be about making shoemakers. He wants you to be about making people different. All the stuff we accomplish on earth is not going to last except for the people that are impacted. Jesus, to put it in Jesus' terms, maybe better, Jesus said, I'm not calling you to be fishermen. I'm calling you to be fishers of men. This idea that our earthly pursuits, they're not evil. It's not bad to go fish. It's not bad to work wherever you're working probably. But that's not the purpose Jesus has for you. The purpose he has is to change people. So that's what the master's doing. Now, some of you are here today and you're like, you keep talking about master, Jake, and like, I want to follow that master, but I'm not a master. I can't help anybody else. This might be for me 10 years from now, but it's not for me today. I want to talk to you about this passage we're going to read and how Jesus, I believe, is inviting all of us to start impacting somebody else. None of us are the master like Jesus is the master, but I think the way Christianity works is it's always supposed to be something we share. So let's read back to our passage, okay? Some of you are like, oh, I'm so glad we're done with that painting. We are done with it, okay? So here's the passage, verse 44. Philip, this is the guy that Jesus just called. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip just met Jesus. And right away, he is telling somebody else about Jesus. You do not need to wait any longer to tell other people about Jesus. And you're like, wait, but what happens? What if I could get myself into a big mess telling people about Jesus? We'll read this next verse, verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael said. You know, right? This is like whatever city you don't like, you know, St. Louis or whatever it is. You know, you're thinking like, I don't even have to know the person. I already don't like them if they're from there. That's what he's saying here. Nathanael's like, I'm already against it because of where he's from. Whoever you try to bring alongside you, they're going to bring their own issues. And along the way, you're not going to be on the same page. You're trying to point them to Jesus, and they're trying to go over here. most stop right here, especially if you don't know the rest of the story. Stop right here and realize your way of fixing this is probably not the right way. Because if you're anything like me, when somebody tells me, no, I got reasons to not do the right next thing. You know, I was in debate as a little high school kid, a little tiny kid, and I just switched into like debate mode. Oh, I can just tell them the right thing about why they're wrong and need to change. It's not what Philip does here. Philip does something much, much better. Come and see, said Philip. Come and see. Because we don't have to fix the people in our lives. Some of you, your shoulders need to lift up when you hear that. It is not your responsibility to fix the people in your life. Your responsibility is to bring people to Jesus. You don't have to fix them. You have to bring them to the one who can fix them. Philip didn't have to answer why Nazareth is really an okay place or why blah, 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 blah. He had to say, come with me to Jesus. So some of us, we've got somebody in our mind right now that we really want to get off the streets, or really want to get them free from some sort of addiction. We really want them to start making good decisions. And we think, if only they would see it my way, if only they would stop wasting their money, if only they would get rid of that boyfriend, if only they, whatever it might be, if only they would see it my way or realize that I'm right. I want to tell you today, there is a much bigger thing to dream about than that person realizing that you're right. If you have been just hoping that somebody in your life would see that you are right, you have set the bar way too low to be involved with Jesus. Because if you're bringing Jesus into the element, the dream needs to be much bigger. Okay? Let's read about what happens to this Nathanael who's so against going at first. See what happens to him when all Philip does is bring him to Jesus after saying this is who Jesus is, and he brings him to him. Look what happens with Nathanael. And before we get there, though, do something with me. Picture somebody in your mind who you wish was further along with Jesus. They might already be a Christian. They might be in this room with you. They might be really far. They might be suicidal somewhere else right now. But picture them, and then I want you to dream about what Jesus could do in their life. A lot of us, we've been slaves to different sin for so long that we don't have any of these dreams. We've got a beat-down mentality not to dream about great things, or we're so prideful that our dreams are about us doing great things. But right now, I want to invite you into a godly dream, a worshipful dream, where you dream about the difference that Jesus could make in somebody you love, where it's Jesus is the hero of the dream. That is a good thing to daydream about. Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing as we read this. So let's read what happens to Nathanael. Verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Jesus says a lot of different things to people when he meets them for the first time, and some of them are very aggressive, and you wouldn't want to hear them about yourself. This one is like, oh, wow. This Nathanael guy has got some good things going for him, right? Being an Israelite, he might be very nationalistic, maybe, but that's not a detrimental thing to say about somebody. And then this idea that he's a very honest person. There's nothing fake about Nathanael. And he gets far with Jesus quickly, and that's something we know about him, is he's not fake. If you're thinking, who can I help get to Jesus? Don't think about all the like exteriors, you know, like do they look nice, act nice, or whatever, think about who do you know who's not fake? And maybe take them to Jesus and see what happens. Because this guy's not fake, and he goes really fast with Jesus, okay? It's a big help if you're just not, if you're true to yourself and a true, open, honest person, Jesus can get moving with you, okay? So how do you know me? Nathaniel asked. Whoever you pictured who needs some help, I would wager one of the things deep inside their heart is this ache of feeling like nobody really understands. And the way I can say that is like we pretty much all feel that, right? And that person who's struggling is probably feeling that pain of nobody really understands. And Nathaniel, right off of one or two sentences from Jesus, he's already thinking like, how can you say that with that authority about me? How do you sum me up in a couple sentences and do it in an accurate way? Imagine if the person you were picturing, they meet Jesus and they instantly are like, how does this person get me? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, we do not get a lot of explanation of like what is Jesus talking about here, but the way Nathaniel's about to respond shows us a little bit, okay? This is going to be really powerful for him. But here's my guess, okay, what happened. Earlier that day, Nathaniel must have had some sort of powerful experience with God underneath this fig tree. There is nothing that Philip could have said about Nazareth that would have cut to this guy's heart like what Jesus just said. Realize that Philip could not help Nathaniel at any way to the level that Jesus could, because Jesus is literally miraculous. And the person that you want to see be helped, you cannot help them the way that Jesus can help them. Jesus can do miraculous things in moments that we could not do with our best intentions for years. So Jesus says this phrase, I saw you under the fig tree. Then Nathanael declared in verse 49, Rabbi, so that means teacher. Now he's moved to like really respecting him. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. That's a lot. That went from Nazareth, what good can come from there, to I am basically worshiping you as God. You're the Son of God. I mean, right off the bat, he gets it quick. That's a lot that just happened. And then one other thing we know about him is he's really into Israel. He immediately says, you're the king of the thing that I really care about. Imagine the person that you were talking about. Imagine if today Jesus could get involved in their life and they say, Jesus is the one who's worth the most honor. I'm going to worship him and he is going to be the king of the thing I care most about. Like whoever you had in your mind, that's a pretty spectacular dream, right? Like them going to that sort of transformation. Here it goes, the dream keeps, or like the stuff keeps going here with Jesus. It's verse 50. Jesus said, you believe, so I'm going to pause there, believe. The whole book of John is about that word, believe. This is about believing in Jesus. And some folks in Maywood are deep Christians. And maybe I myself don't have a lot to teach some of you who are watching or here. I believe the Holy Spirit through the Gospel of John could teach any one of us about belief at a deeper level that would help us have more life with Jesus. John is a powerful tool in the Holy Spirit's hands, that book, to teach you about belief and true life. So he says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than that. He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The person that maybe you walked into the room and you just wish, "Oh, I just wish that they would drop that girlfriend," or, "Oh, I just wish that they could get off of that drug," or, "I just wish they could have someplace warm to sleep tonight." Like, if that's all you were thinking when you went into the room, the dream can go a lot further with Jesus, right? What if they had that sort of transformation, total devotion to Jesus, and then Jesus says, "That's just the beginning. You're going to see a lot more than that." Now, us dreaming about it doesn't mean it's true. Jesus meets a lot of people that don't respond like Nathaniel responds. And the person you're dreaming of, they still have a free will, and God's not going to trample it, okay? But this is what Christianity is about. It's about us saying we really believe in Jesus, and we're going to bring people to Jesus. And when I say bring them to Jesus, I don't mean get them to say an ABC prayer and then leave them. And I don't mean just get them to show up to a church service. I mean, get them doing stuff with you and Jesus. So I want to wrap this up today with a challenge for you guys before I pray a blessing over you, okay? And as I'm doing this challenge, you need to decide now, what are you going to do? Because I want to pray a blessing over whatever you decide to do, okay? So my challenge, this whole thing we've listened to today, my challenge is, whatever you're going to do with Jesus this week, take somebody with you. So if you are already planning on reading through the Gospel of John, maybe, because you heard me talk about belief, maybe you're going to read through the Gospel of John, why don't you invite somebody else to do that with you? You can call them up on the phone and even literally read it out loud, or get together for coffee and read together, however you want to do it. What if you read the Bible together and then you went for a walk together and talked about it? My guess is none of us were planning to do that when we walked in the room. But if you did that this week, that's very much a come and see thing. It's just saying, I believe Jesus is going to show up as we read the Gospel of John. Why don't we come and see Jesus together? We're going to show up and we're going to put our faith in that, and we're going to see what happens. Now, the stuff I'm going to throw out a bunch of ideas here. Don't do something out of guilt. Philip here didn't go to Nathaniel out of guilt. If one of these things stirs up a bunch of anxiety in you and you're like, I don't want to do it, that's not the thing to do with somebody else. The thing you share about Jesus this week that you pull someone alongside in, it should be a joy to you. I was excited when Justin got a bike because I wanted to ride the bike with him, right? Whatever I mentioned here or whatever thing you come up with, it should be something you want to do and you're excited to bring somebody along with you. Don't make it out of guilt. Okay. Another thing you could do, we've spent some time singing and worshiping this morning. What if you invited somebody into that with you? You said, man, this song, it really connected with me. Let's listen to it in the truck while we're going somewhere. And let's try to focus on Jesus together. I mean, that feels a little awkward, right? But you could do that and you could see what happens when you do it. Right? What about you drive by somebody who's in trouble on the street this week? It's not hard to do that in our town. And what if you invited somebody else to come alongside you and you got out of your car or whatever you're in, and you just talk with this person like they're a real person, and maybe you give them something that you feel good about giving them. So if you don't feel like giving some homeless guy money is a good idea, why not have some good socks in your car that are new and give them some socks with somebody else? You know, take somebody else with you to Cargo Largo, buy some wool socks, and then give them away to somebody. You could do that this week. It might feel like, what? Why am I doing that? This is the sort of stuff of like, come with me and do what I do. Come with me and experience Jesus. And you can just have a conversation with them about like, my heart goes out to this homeless guy I see under 435 every day, but I didn't know what to do for him. My silly pastor said that he'd talked to the guy at Maywood who had been homeless and asked, what do we do? And the guy said, give him clean socks. Clean socks are hard to come by when you're homeless. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to Cargo Largo. And we're getting wool socks. I'm a fan of wool socks. It's a Jake thing. But whatever you think are the best socks, you get them the best socks and you give them to them. Because again, you're doing something that Jesus would be about. Jesus is about giving your best to somebody in need. It's a very Christ-like thing to do. So you just bring somebody else with you. You just do that thing together. Say, we're doing it because Jesus wants us to help the poor. What if you just prayed with somebody else this week? Could literally be 5 minutes, but maybe you and your spouse. Maybe you're like, I'm too nervous to do this with somebody at work yet. If that's where you're at, maybe you and your spouse pray together every day this week. Instead of praying by yourself, pray with them and say, let's come to Jesus together, right? Final thing I'm going to throw out, lots of Chiefs fans. I'm a Chiefs fan. Anything you're doing that you're excited about, I have a feeling if you have a conversation with Jesus about it, he will either tell you like a don't ever do that again, or yeah, we could use that. We could have fun with that together, right? There's some stuff that's just straight sinful and Jesus will just tell you to stop. But there's the vast majority of stuff in this world is things that Jesus can get involved in. And football is one of those things. If you read in Luke chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, and really just read the whole chapter, Luke 14, if you can remember that. But in verse 12 through 14, Jesus says, when you throw a party for people that can't pay you back. Throw a party for people that are in need or in trouble and invite them in to have fun with you. And what basically Jesus is getting at is our normal way of thinking is we want to have a good time with people that are easy for us to have a good time, people that are going to give us something. And Jesus isn't against you having a good time. Like literally that passage, Jesus is commanding you to throw parties and feasts, but to do it with people in need, people you don't expect anything from. So for some of you, like COVID's got you to the spot where like you're not having a big party at your house and you don't want to share guacamole with a homeless guy or something, like that's fine. If you're not excited about it, don't do it. But for some of you, when I talked about doing some of this other stuff, that didn't excite you. But the idea of seeing somebody in trouble on your way home and having them come over to this giant thing you're doing for the Chiefs, for some of you, are like, yeah, I could enjoy that. And what if you just said, like, we're going to make this Chiefs game today about sharing good things because Jesus has given us good things. So let's just obey him. He says in Luke, like, throw parties with people that can't pay you back. We're going to throw a party for the Chiefs with people that can't pay us back because we love Jesus. And we even want our Sunday nights to be about things that he told us to be about. There's lots of ways, okay? Whatever you're already doing this week, I bet if you said, Jesus, here's what I'm excited about. How could I bring somebody along with you? He'll probably show you something. So decide in your mind right now, what do you want to do with somebody else? And whether you're on Facebook or down the fellowship hall or the youth chapel, if you guys would bow your heads, I want to pray a blessing over the idea you just had. Jesus, you are the Lord, and I know from my own experience, my best ideas can get me into trouble, but we have to start somewhere, Jesus, and so we all have good intentions in this moment. We want to do something for you with somebody next to us, and so Jesus, I pray over every idea that every person's had that's listening to this message. I pray that you would bless that idea by showing up in that yourself, Jesus. That you would teach us and show us together. We are not the master, you are the master, but help us to be your apprentice. Help us to take somebody with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.